with going back to the loss of numbers in refereeing, I think this has been going to the pandemic again. The pandemic has played a big part in many, many ways, not just football refereeing, but in refereeing right across sport.
This is Referee's World with Darren Cullum and Richard Mellon.
Hello again and welcome to the Referee's World podcast, which offers education and training for referees of all levels. My name is Darren Cullum. I'm affiliated with Somerset FA and this is Technical Manager Referees at UAEFA in Dubai, Rich Mellon. Now, we're picking up where we left off in the last episode. A young referee and colleague of us that we both know very well, Jack Luxham, just before Christmas, he was in that state of mind where he wasn't quite sure whether he wanted to continue or not for whatever reason. Myself and my mate Rob, we sort of said to him, look, just take a few weeks off, just get your thoughts back together. And thankfully, he's done that and he's back on firing on all cylinders. But I suppose the big question is, Rich, there are a lot of people leaving refereeing after however many years, and we need to... sort of work on ways on how we stop that. And what is the answer?
Well, I don't know the answer, to be honest, Darren. I don't know anybody that does know the answer, but everybody can do a little bit of speculating. Why? Again, I think we talked on a podcast about a year ago, I reckon it was, when we said, you know, when are we going to start refereeing again? When are the players going to get back into the groove and get out there on a weekly basis? And we briefly touched on all the frustrations that were going to come back with playing and that, because pent up frustration is something that everybody has got. Not just players, but referees as well. So we had to make sure that we were ready to, you know, hit the road and, you know, drive hard, as for the want of a phrase. And so consequently, why did players say what they do nowadays? I think it's all about the frustration of what the pandemic has done as regards the mental mindset. There's a lot of frustration out there. There's a lot of comments made. There's a lot of reaction. How much management can be done as regards managing players that are showing that level of frustration? I don't know if there's been an increase in yellow cards, if there's been an increase in dissent, offensive, insulting, abusive language. I don't have access to that type of information. But if I had to guess, and I'm not a gambling man, but I would say it has increased. From your experience, how many times have you used the sin bin since you got back to regular refereeing?
Well,
are you using?
I am using the sin bin, and I was using it quite regularly in the build up to the Christmas break. After Christmas, I struggled a bit to find my mojo. And there was a couple of games that I went to that I should have used the sin bin, and it would have helped the situation a bit more. And not forgetting, the sin bin can be used for dissent by word or action. I think the sin bin's so great. I really do.
I think it's a plus for grassroots football.
Yeah.
Over the I think it's about 2 or 3 years we've had it in place, where it was trialed across the country in 22 leagues originally. And now, you know, here we are, the sin bin is in place, and for grassroots referees, I think it's one of those situations which is it should be well received, because it should be able to give you some assistance in managing the game, rather than feel a little bit sort of edgy, lacking courage, lacking confidence to show a player a yellow card. But you know, the sin bin is another tier in there for, you know, managing the game, and I would encourage a lot of people to get an understanding of how to use the sin bin, and when to use it is the important part, of course. There's still that little bit of management that you can do prior to the sin bin, but equally, you can go directly to a caution, a yellow card, and you don't have to use the sin bin. I fully understand that. But the sin bin has been placed there as another tier of management for grassroots referees.
So we talk about the sin bin and using that as a tool to help manage dissent. Is there anything else that could be introduced into the game that we could use to stop this spiralling out of control, really?
Well, I'm going to use the something that we mentioned a few podcasts ago, because I also think that there is a necessity to trial body cams. And let's have a look at how that can help the game, because I am one of those people, and I'm not amongst a low number, but because I think there is a good number of people out there that would welcome them. I think the body cams will help control. There is a level of deterrent in there, because when a referee talks to a player and vice versa, there is educational pieces in there, because we talked to Tom Webb, didn't we? Dr. Tom Webb.
Yes.
About that.
Yeah.
And Tom talked about it as regards how it will help the game. And here we are. We're a few months closer now. And I get the impression that it could come in. It's going to be discussed at IFAB / FIFA meeting, which will be, I think, next month, March. So it's been tabled for a discussion, and I hope they come back with a recommendation that they will trial it in so many leagues like they did with the sin bin. And I certainly think that the body cam is a learning tool and helps education of referees, and also will be a deterrent to players as regards what they might say to referees, etc., etc.
I'm pleased to hear about all this, because you may recall about 12 months ago or so, I used a body cam on a couple of friendlies, and at the time it was a complete no-no, and I was quietly advised by my local FA to lose it, because there were certain clips that we were using, mostly use as educational purposes on the podcast. I'm actually pleased to see that it's now being discussed and talked about at the highest of levels.
The thing that I would be conscious about is when it comes in, because I'm going to use that expression now, when it comes in, because I think it will. When it comes in, I think we need to be prepared of how to best make the use of it, and not just use it for a gimmick. It's not there for a gimmick, it's there for a reason. It's a bit like when we had buzzer flags introduced, wasn't it, you know, and other things. Learn how to use them, learn how to use the body cam, not against the player. It's not against the player. It's there to help develop refereeing, and there comes a deterrent with it. That's what they're looking at, that's why they're going to do it. So hopefully there is a pickup of interest in refereeing through this piece of technology that's going to be introduced. And I do think it's a good piece of technology taken in a positive way and not used for negative reasons. And then people start berating each other, et cetera, et cetera. So let's learn how to use it best before we go out there, because let me say to you, if I would talk, we digress slightly, as a level five referee, why would you give a club linesman your buzzer flags?
I wouldn't, really.
Okay.
Two reasons. Because I don't have any buzzer flags.
That is a perfect answer. But I see people on social media asking about buzzer flags. Yeah. Where can I buy buzzer flags? Where can I buy buzzer flags? Well, if you're a level six referee, level five referee, why do you want buzzer flags? Yeah. We got to learn how to use these tools. So going back to the body cam, that's exactly what's going to have to happen. We're going to have to learn to use these tools rather than just go out there and all of a sudden, you know, you get a package arrive on a Friday morning at home and you unwrap it and it's a set of buzzer flags, and also you get a body cam. You can't go out there then on the first day, the day after, and all of a sudden say, hey, I'm fit to referee. Mm. No, you're not. Nobody's ready to use buzzer flags. You have to train with them. Nobody's going to be ready to use a body cam. You're going to have to understand how best it's used. You know, you can't just go out there and say, oh, I got a body cam yesterday, I'm wearing it today. You know, it doesn't work like that. Refereeing has got technical issues for referees that need to be understood, and that's how we learn.
Just going back to basics and back to the grassroots side of things, with regards to referees that are coming in, having a little bit of a sample, enjoying it, and then suddenly reality bites. How can we put our arms around them? What can we do as experienced referees to encourage these youngsters to stay with it?
Well, there's been numerous ideas about how we retain people, recruitment and retention. There were, in years gone by, not that long ago, recruitment and retention officers with the county FIAs or with the county RAs and that. That just didn't bear any fruit at all, because it was not well thought out. There was not enough resources. There were not enough people willing to come forward and do mentoring. Mentoring is not an easy thing. It's a bit like going to watch a game of football. And if you go and watch a game of football, are you a positive thinker or do you go looking for mistakes? I look for the positives in a referee's performance, how well he or she runs, body language, good signals, use of the whistle. Let's look at all the positive sides of it. Whereas in some cases, people go there and their first thing is, oh, that's a mistake. Oh, that's a mistake. Oh, that's not a very good signal. Well, let's have a look at how we make things better. Let's put things into a positive perspective, get out of those negative vibes. And I think, with going back to the loss of numbers in refereeing, I think this has been going to the pandemic again. The pandemic has played a big part in many, many ways, not just football refereeing, but in refereeing right across sport. Mm. There's been a lot of numbers lost. And arguably, people have said, I've had time with my family, I've enjoyed time with my family. Mm. And they've now found a new focus for their Saturdays, mm. that type of thing. And, Saturday, Sunday, morning football, whatever, football during the week is... people have not decided not to bother.
You've touched on how refereeing has been affected in all sports right across the board. Are there any particular sports that we could learn from, that we could embrace? I mean, instantly, I think of rugby and how the players treat the referee in rugby. It's a whole different mentality, isn't it? But are there any others?
The professional profile of rugby is absolutely fantastic in terms of the way... Let's use an ex-international, and this time last year we weren't calling him an ex-international, but Nigel Owens. Mm. Nigel Owens has a unique way in which to control a game of rugby football, and he talks to the players. I clearly remember one of those days he was refereeing an international, wherever it was in the world, I can't remember who it was, but he stood in front of these two big lads. I mean, they were big. And he said, look, guys, this is not soccer. And I just thought that knocked it stone dead in the water. That's
yeah.
flattened. Let's remember the image. And that's something that I've talked to you about. Let's look after the image of the game. Nigel Owen was always doing that within rugby. The rugby referees do that. The rugby players remember about the image, because of the professional standards. There is... a lot of good things that are seen in rugby football. And so, keep doing it is what I say to them. How can we learn from them? I think there needs to be more engaging, and I will go slightly the other way now, because when you come down to grassroots rugby, don't be fooled into thinking that everything is hunky-dory. Mm. Because the same people that walk in the street as a rugby player and walk past a footballer, they have the same mental well-being as regards the frustrations. So consequently, they've gone back into rugby and they've had a little bit more, let's call it a little bit more chopsy. They've mm-hmm. been a little bit more verbal. That's when the referee will penalise them 10 yards and all sorts of little things like that. So rugby at certain levels has got a very, very good image, but there are edges in some areas whereby verbal comments are made by players to the referees, and rugby referees have the same issues as regards discipline that we do. Not identical, but they do have the same issues. The physicality of it, you look at the physicality of rugby, totally different. You've got to have a very good understanding of unacceptable contact and things like that. So we'll leave that one there, Dad, because I don't know enough about rugby refereeing.
No, of course not. No,
you're out there in the firing line as an active referee.
Yeah.
What do you think about using the body cam? Because you use the body cam, as you've said, twice, I think it was, last season. Then it got reported that you'd used it, and then you were advised stop, and that was it. So what was your experience at the time?
Okay, so I embraced it because I thought I could learn from it, and indeed there were certain situations that I did learn from it. There was a comedy side of it because the players all knew and they were happy for me to be wearing this. I had to check before I went out that both teams were happy with me using this. And they were. And there was a couple of really good goals scored. And after the goals were scored, ref, please tell me you caught that on the camera. So that was a bit of lightheartedness. And it sort of broke the ice a little bit. For me, whether I was wearing the right kit, I don't know. It rattled about a bit because I had one of these cameras that was like a GoPro. And I had it on my chest that was strapped in with this vest. I don't know if that's the sort of thing. There were certain angles that I wasn't seeing fully. Maybe that's because of the type of camera I had or the settings. I don't know, but I thought it was okay. I didn't have a problem with it. And in terms of the point that you made earlier, would it settle or calm things down a little more because they knew I was wearing a body cam? I think based on the teams that I had on that day and having had them previously, it did come across as though they were a little more gentle with me. So I don't know, that might have just been the nature of the game, the day. It may be because they knew that I had a camera. I don't know.
I was going to say, when you used the camera, Dad, did you find it was gimmicky? Did you get distracted with it because you knew it was on your chest?
Prior to the game, when I was just sort of setting up the adjustments on it and making myself feel comfortable with this thing because it is obviously alien. When I was running, obviously it was jumping around a bit, so I knew it was there. I found myself trying to get in wider positions, ironically, so that I could get a wider view of the play. So I don't know whether that was a help or a hindrance, but after, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, I sort of settled back into the game normally. So
yeah, well, the thing I do know, and I'll refer to Ref Support UK and Martin Cassidy, because they've been following this project for quite a while now, you know, it was put forward as regards an idea, and it was flattened straight away. No, we're not having body cams in football. Well, it's now got to a stage whereby full circle has gone around, and the question has been asked again. And that's why it's gone to FIFA for discussion on the table and that. I know Martin has done a little bit of research on it and sourced. I cannot remember the style or what it's called, but there is a harness that, let's say, straps around your body, a bit like a polar system, where you know your heat movement map and all that you do on your polar heart watch. Similar to that, I'm not saying it's the same, but it is out there. Like I say, perhaps we'll have a chat with Martin in the next few days and see what the latest update is on any design of what might be happening. Because, like I say, I do think it will come in as a pilot, and the Toolstation Western League have volunteered to put themselves as a pilot going forward for the use of body cams. Whether or not the FA will say yes, do a pilot at supply league level, I'm not sure. It might go in at grassroots below supply league level. So I think it's a case of wait and see. But you know, based upon your experience, you've got enough knowledge about what it was. You looked at the quality of the film that you did, footage. How did you learn from it? What did you learn from it?
I learned from, there was one particular decision that I learned from. That was a free kick to me. On the day, it was questioned, but when I look back at it, I knew that my decision was right. So it gave me that little bit of extra confidence, I suppose, knowing that after I'd made that decision, that I was right in what I did. But on the other hand, there are decisions that you can make that perhaps were not correct, or they could have been better. And it's like you said earlier on in the podcast, we like to listen back to what we've recorded so we can pick up on our mistakes. It's the same with refereeing. If we can look back on a game, right, and look at certain points in the game where you thought, oh, maybe I should have given something there. And we've all do it. We all do it. We come off every game where you think, damn, I missed that one. And we can look back on it. And I think it could be a really good training tool, which was the whole idea for me wearing it, so we could utilise that.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, as referees, we already question ourselves after the game. We self-analyse. Mm. And if we had a body cam in which to use the footage, we can actually look at certain decisions. We can look at how the whole scenario came to be. Mm. You know, you can look at certain learning aspects of it in terms of positioning, angles, things like that. You know, why did you give the wrong goal kick? And it should have been a corner kick type of thing. You know, so it's all little bits and pieces and help your recognition of foul contact or simulation. And things like that. There's lots of pluses to come with the use of a body cam. And again, like I say, I won't leave it out because I don't think it's right to leave it out. But it is there as a deterrent as well.
Well, I must admit, personally, I would embrace it. And fingers crossed it'll happen sometime soon to stop increasing amount of referees leaving the game that we love. Rich,
I hope so, yeah.
Good to speak to you again, good to see you again. Just to say as well, at the end of this episode, if you heard lots of knocking and banging and stuff going on around, it's because it's the tail end of Storm Eunice, which you wouldn't have had in Dubai. We've had it here in the UK. And just to give you a sense of day and time, it's a Sunday afternoon or early Sunday evening, just before 6 o'clock. And there has been quite a lot of wind knocking about today, even though the main part of the storm has left us.
This is Referees World. Listen online at refereesworld.co.uk or search iTunes for Referees World.